Academy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Challenged, a podcast all about MTV's The Challenge. As always, I am Brian, sitting to my left on her phone, texting
Amanda,
and to my right,
Big Uncle Sweetie.
What's up, everybody?
What's up?
Head over to challengepod.com, join the Facebook group. Facebook group is where it's happening.
It's where it's at. Yes,
I don't know.
Best place on the internet to talk about The Challenge.
Close enough to my microphone. I'm so sorry.
Scoot your ass up without knocking all the shit over, Amanda.
Well, there's a bar right by my legs. Okay, there we go.
All the camera framing is going to be off now. You've ruined it.
It's all fucked up. Look at that.
Look how terrible that is.
It's terrible.
It's so terrible now that I scooted in.
Yeah. See that blanket behind you?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Who cares for the three people that are going to watch this?
Why are we doing this show? We have over 20 subscribers to this tier. Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Speaking of, you can join our Patreon for $5 a month. You get to watch a video portion of this episode.
Yeah. Look at us.
So you get to see us sit around bullshitting about what weird TV shows we watch beforehand.
Right? Yeah.
So it's good stuff.
Good stuff. Join the Patreon.
It's wonderful.
We've had a couple new Patreon subscribers in the last like week or two.
Yeah, that's what Brian said.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
About to go very nice.
That's awesome.
I know. It's really like bizarre timing because we're just out of the real season. This is usually when all the Patreons drop
off.
Maybe these are
people who really like the before and after content.
Yeah.
Listening to us talk about random TV shows and random food and just a lot of random ass stuff.
Yeah.
We should do a random ass podcast on the Patreon for an off season.
Right.
We really should. We should figure out something to do on the off season.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we got to do something.
I think it's going to be a long one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to figure out, like, what do we want to do, another old season or?
We could do a throwback or, you know, some of the challengers have done movies. We could do movie reviews of some of the challengers' movies. I don't know.
Yeah.
Join the Facebook group, guys, and tell us what you think we should do.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us what you think or what you'd like to hear.
And we'll not do that thing. We want to hear just to tell you to fuck off.
You want to jump into this week's episode?
All right, let me take a sip first.
Oh, good Lord.
Dead air.
Well, I literally was like picking it up as you were talking, and I was like, oh, well, that's me.
Dead air, and me and Wolfie have nothing to talk about
right?
To fill that gap.
We don't know.
Low energy today.
Yeah. Low energy.
I got all the way.
Bring it up.
I woke up at like 8:15 today.
I know. I was excited. I thought we were going to have a day. And then he comes out and he's like, I'm going to work. And I was like, oh. Tomorrow he'll be off and he'll sleep till like 1:30. And it'll be like, oh, sweet.
But see, you leave out the part where I've stayed up till like 4.
Probably. Well, that's not my fault.
Yeah, I was going to ask, when did you go to sleep to get up at 8?
Like 1.
Oh, last night?
Yeah, like 1.
Probably like 1.
All right. Well, that's, I mean, one day on 7 hours. You can do that.
Are you kidding me? I do every day on like 5 hours or something. I don't, or even, I don't even know. Like, we should just listen. You want some?
Well, 5 hours isn't right either.
This is pre-show content where you talk about your Fitbit
stuff. I only got 5.5 hours yesterday, 6 on Friday.
Well, that's terrible, Amanda.
It's because I came home.
You got to take better care of yourself.
I don't know how it's 5.5. Like, that thing is completely wrong.
No, it is right.
I came home at 11 o'clock, 11:15.
I was not dead asleep. I was awake. I heard you come in. I heard you watch your wrestling. I watched my show for multiple episodes.
You may have heard me. When I went into the bedroom,
I was starting to fall asleep.
Against that headboard.
Yeah. I was just starting to fall asleep. Now, let me get back into this. Now, see, you just spawned my ADHD real bad there.
How
and
dare
I just
you,
went,
Wolfie?
Like, off on
it's
a,
your fault.
Hey, legally, I'm able to because we're married.
All right, let's get into this episode. This is All Stars Season 2, Episode 9.
Oh, it's too close to the end of this season, isn't
one
it?
One more.
It's too close.
I tell you what, though, 10 episodes.
What, you won like a 19 episode season?
That's the thing that I know that I'm sending mixed signals, but
you do.
I like to be left wanting more. That's the way I prefer to leave a season.
Yeah, so this is the way you like
yes,
it. Yeah,
much better this way.
This episode titled Break Stuff.
Break your fucking face tonight.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to save it to the end, but fuck it. They didn't play the Limp Bizkit song?
Right.
I know.
This is would be Should've the totally. Perfect.
When he was
during the elimination,
when he was, yeah.
Why didn't they play it?
there.
Unbelievable.
They could have done it when Brad went nuts on the semi. I mean, yeah. They could have.
Janelle was talking about breaking her back.
They could have done it a whole bunch of times this episode. Yeah. Never did it.
No. Lame.
Mustn't have the rights to that one or something. Must be too expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure those Limp Bizkit rights are pretty expensive.
Fred Durst, he hates the challenge.
Okay. All right. Darrell did the previously on. He said that Anaya punked Jody over her salad.
I ate it. I didn't even use a fork.
I love Darrell.
What a weird. I missed She's last weird. Episode, but what a weird
right? part of
piece of
right?
challenge history now.
Yes. Oh, so they're going to replay that. Like, if she ever comes yeah. back, and we like, remember when Ayanna was like, I ate it.
I didn't even use a fork. I used my fingers to eat it.
I felt rich.
I felt rich. Jesus. Oh, so Lord.
Weird. Fucking Greek salad. Calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm. I do like a Greek salad.
Oh, so good. Kalamata olives, the cucumber. Mmm. Yes. Greek dressing. Delish. So this episode starts off after
babies.
This episode starts off after Melinda and Nehemiah's win over Letarian and Jasmine. Back at the house, Melinda is pumped to make it to her first final. Yeah. Kind of shocking that, you know, she didn't make it when she played before. Mm-hmm. But definitely not shocking to me this season and how she's performed this season. So good on her. She said that it's really helping her self-confidence. It's amazing if you can make it, kind of what it does to prove to you that you can do it. You are strong enough and
you can do it.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. Then we get Tech, Nehemiah, and Melinda celebrating.
Safety Palace.
And then we get everybody else talking about how they can't get that song out of their head.
So my Tech made it into a real song.
Yeah. I'm trying to find it now. Yeah. I bought it last episode.
MJ says that it drove him nuts at first, but he finds himself in the shower humming it to himself. Darrell says that, yeah, dude, it's real catchy. Safety Palace. Darrell thought it was so catchy that he got on the track, right? Didn't you say it was Tech and Darrell?
No, it's a Letarian.
Oh, Letarian. Oh, it wasn't. Letarian
Melinda shows up at some point.
Melinda's in it. They have a music video for it.
That's
you can
awesome.
Like go find it on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a music video. Oh my God. We have to watch that later.
It's not very good.
I still need to watch it. I don't care if it's good. I agree. I think it's super catchy. It's fabulous. Never have we had a theme song for an alliance ever show up on a season and then actually be produced into an actual
song. It is interesting, though. Great. People on the MTV Challenge subreddit were talking about the double agents, how it was really trying to sell Alien and me singing Alien.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They kept playing and shit. And we're all just sort of fucking annoyed by this fucking song. Whereas this song was written on the spot in this house.
Yes.
And people are kind of into it.
Yes, into it.
It's a little more organic than Emmy with Alien, I guess, which
that's
is
it.
Maybe the appealing part here.
Yeah, she came into the house having that song, and that's different. Whereas this is kind of like, we watched them come up with it, and it makes it more fun, I think. But
I agree.
Just
another way All-Stars is superior to the main show anymore.
Listen, cut from one catchy tune to another catchy tune, the Baywatch music. This Baywatch music montage is pretty great.
I really liked this. I liked it too. Wolfie, how long did it take for you to realize that this
about
was the Baywatch?
3 seconds.
Was 2 seconds. Is that the Baywatch theme? It was 2 seconds. I was like,
the music hadn't even started yet for me, and I was like, oh, I know what this is. Yeah, it was great.
Oh my God, it was
so I was sitting there just like, okay, it's the Baywatch theme, but are we getting the full lyrics?
Yeah.
We're going full instrumental. What are we getting? And then the lyrics pop.
Full lyrics.
Yeah.
It was great.
We got it all.
I loved it.
I liked it too. Some slow motion of MJ in the shower.
Yes.
Brad doing some weird Pilates thing. Uh-huh. Linda running. Yeah, it was a nice little montage.
And then it starts them talking all about how they want to get to the final, everybody, basically. So
yeah,
Brad and Jody won it. Darrell knows that he needs to win this challenge.
Was there going to be somebody that's like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Make it to the final.
Right.
Pretty much everybody knows that if somebody from their alliance doesn't win, the other side's going in. Just depends. So then we get Brad and Janelle talking. And then this is when Janelle talks about her serious back injury from back in 2014.
Uh-oh.
Girl, 2014 was a bad year for backs, man. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was a bad year for backs. I had to see, well, not the same. I have no idea what her back injury is. I didn't actually injure my back. I just had a herniated disc. But yeah, 2014 was the year that, you know, mine was so crappy. So she says that she, poor thing though, she says that she just felt back to normal last year.
6 years?
To yeah. Last thing? I'd say, I mean, yeah. I still, like, last week, I had a flare up, like, did something stupid, twisted, or picked something up dumb, and had a flare up. But, like, about a week, and I'm fully back to normal. I take my ibuprofen, do my exercises and that, and I can get it back to normal. But I can't imagine being in a situation like this where you're constantly putting your body under stress. Like, I was able to, like, kind of just, hey, you just can't do anything. Like, don't pick up anything off the floor. Don't be twisting and bending weird. Like, just be careful for a few days. Like, I can't imagine being in this situation and having some kind of flare up. Like, yeah.
I didn't have to put your shoes on before her. I went to work, like I did last time.
So. Oh, must not did have been, you?
Oh, yeah. When my bad, like then. When yeah. my back, like in 2014, before it all got like to the point where it just finally dropped out, and I had to like, they finally did something.
Don't say I don't know what it's like to have kids. Like, come on, put your foot up. Foot, okay, all right, push. No, you got push. You got to twist it. You got to push it.
It was real bad. Like, I couldn't even put my shoes on. It was terrible. So, I feel for her in this moment. Just because I can't even imagine doing what she's doing with an injury like that.
But then how do you do the thing? You'd be like, the bunny went around
right through the hole.
Through the hole. Yep.
But yeah. So she says that basically the re-injury has happened from the 30-foot jump to the cenote when they were going to look at those puzzle pieces.
Right.
It's always the things you think is just like no big deal. Yeah,
it is.
You're jumping into a pool of water.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Literally, I'm pretty sure that this last time that I kind of flared up my back, it was because I dropped my earring on the floor and I went
down
like,
too quickly.
No, I like twisted stupid to lean over to pick it up. And that was it. Like, I just did something stupid and then just like kick that muscle.
It's tough getting old, peeps.
It is. It's don't terrible. Do it.
I wouldn't know. I decided to stop getting old a long time ago.
She says that she has been in excruciating pain, but trying to keep it quiet so that she doesn't put a target on her back, because that's so true. Like, if somebody insinuates that you have a weakness or an injury, they're like, well, then automatically we should send you into elimination.
When Amanda's was bad, I just walk around hitting her in the back with a hockey stick.
Right. You deserve it.
I've got to take you out. I know the injury's there.
Right. Let's see. And she does say that if it wasn't a partner's game, that she would have pulled herself a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that really speaks to Janelle's character. I mean, she's willing to risk, you know, kind of, permanent injury to herself, because she doesn't want to have Darrell give up his chance.
Yeah. It probably helps that her and Darrell seem to have a long-term friendship from before this show.
Yeah.
We didn't know that because I don't know if we've ever seen them compete together or they weren't on the same Real World or whatever, but they talked about it in the first couple episodes that they're friends because they live in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So they have this relationship. And yeah, I'm sure she feels terrible.
She
wanted
does.
To pull Darrell out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then that takes us to the challenge.
I will smash his head and eat it.
Judge up. Uh-oh. No TJ, drinking, Amanda. You're
fine.
Not allowed.
It's fine. They get there, and TJ announces that this is the last challenge. And it is called Make the Connection.
Seems like a weird title for this, but whatever.
It super is. There is no connection. What's the connection he's talking about?
Just I don't know.
Get into the other tractor and, or the other trailer. And
I think that is. I think that it's referring to like transport. Like if you're thinking about like making your connecting flight or connection, I think it's from a transport standpoint.
Well, that's a really stupid name.
I agree.
I think it's like make the connection. Don't be late. Make the connection. You know what I mean?
If this was the Amazing Race, I'd be like, that's a great connection. But it's the challenge. And I'm like, that's stupid.
No, they just need to come up with clever little
the
truck jump. Fucking just call it what it is. Who cares?
Truck jump.
They're trying to be
trucky
too clever.
Jumpy.
Yeah, trucky jumpy. That's pretty good. They try to be too clever and it just comes up stupid. That's a stupid title.
TJ says that this is the first time that they have used 3 semi trucks.
Whoa.
I was like, what is this? Like, I don't care. Like, this was really silly that we made a big deal over there being 3 semi trucks.
One
like,
of them was in the movie. Transformers.
I just really don't understand that. But whatever. And he says that one even has a double stack trailer.
Which isn't even a real stack. It's not even a real thing.
No.
Right? That's not a real fucking truck. Why am I impressed? You built a thing for the show.
You put a container on top of a semi. Congrats.
Yeah, not super impressed.
No. It's fine. It's not as exciting as TJ lends it out to be. So in this challenge, you will start off on the double stack semi, jump to the smaller trucks where there are 5 boxes, 4 on the back and 1 big one on the front. You have to untie the small boxes to retrieve the keys to unlock the big box to get the final key to then jump back over to the big truck, climb up and unlock the final box to retrieve an idol and place it on the podium.
There's no idols.
TJ does say that you have to do this quickly because at a certain point, the smaller trucks will take off. And he says that there is a 3-minute time limit.
Yeah. So, yeah, the secondary trucks are not important. Like the truck pulls away. It's not important, right?
It isn't.
It adds some like visual flair, but
well, when you give the 3-minute time limit, and at three minutes is when the truck pulls away, it doesn't do anything for me.
Nothing.
Like that is not part of this challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, later, it is really funny to watch MJ just hang there like like a big old loaf. But it's not really like it's not like oh, it leaves. And then you're DQ'd. Yeah. It's you're DQ'd because of the time, and then the truck pulls off. It wasn't as effective. Like I feel like you could have made this work if really they didn't know, you know, when they were gonna veer off, and they had to hurry up,
right?
In order, and because like this would have been one where you hid the other people typically, right? Like if it worked the way I thought it was gonna work from what TJ said. Typically, you would quarantine the other people while the truck would just those trucks would just deviate at a point and nobody else would know. Ooh, that was close.
Party foul.
That was close.
That was a wibble and wobble.
Whoa. But yeah, and then when it didn't really work out that way, I was really confused
because I think MJ was the only one we saw dangling.
Yes,
it was usually
only
like
one.
They would blow the horn that the time was up, and then they would scurry back to the double deckered bus. And we never saw anybody get really
no. We never
off.
Saw anybody. Just dangling, hanging out.
Yeah, which I think was the whole point of that whole thing, but oh well.
Yeah, it didn't make much. I think they just fell a little short here. I think that it wasn't
come on,
the
Paramount Plus.
The rules to this and the logic to this were not as great as they could have been. So let's run through these. Darrell and Janelle. Janelle with her badass back fucking beats Darrell to the fucking top.
Kills it. She's kind of lucky too that this was not an incredibly physical mission. Like I know that she has the potential to screw her back up in this.
No. Yeah.
But she's not wrestling. She's not lifting 1,000 pounds
and
over her head.
She's doing things like if you notice over at the boxes, like she is like fully squatted.
Yeah.
Like
she's
not
careful.
Bent over.
Yeah,
like
she's
exactly.
Being very cautious.
She is like moving.
Yeah,
with intention.
Yeah, kind of a lucky break for her though.
Yes,
in this
100%. But Darrell struggles with the last lock and they time out.
Yeah, dude, what do you guys think of the conspiracy theory that production wanted Nehemiah and Melinda to win, so they made it
messed up this lock or whatever?
It seems always conspiracies.
Yeah. But it does seem like Darrell had 45 seconds, if we can believe
the
timer,
he had 45 seconds
to unlock a lock.
And it was literally one lock.
Yeah, it's like...
And he had the key.
And he's not an
and
idiot.
And he's not an idiot.
He'd
he
already
put
done,
a key in a lock.
He had
already,
done three of the
well,
four.
Well, they were already open, so it's not like he had the wrong key at the wrong lock.
Yeah,
he was
he
at the last one.
Yeah, there's something a bit weird about that, of like, why didn't that work?
Work.
And if the lock was broken, they needed to redo it or something. I don't know. But it's I have a hard time believing that that was a like something was wrong there. I don't know what, but I got to give Darrell more credit than that.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like it was a little weird. But after they finish, we get Darrell with the first reveal of his alliance's little name that they've given it.
Yeah.
The Silent Six.
I like it.
I like it. And it makes sense when the King's Palace is so loud that their group is called Silent Six. I like it. Yep. So that was fun. Let's up. Next up is Nehemiah and Melinda. Really nothing to talk about. They do great and they finish.
They kill it. Yep. I think they're the only team that finishes.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yes.
Next up is Brad and Jody.
Oh, God.
Brad doesn't realize that he has to untie the boxes.
What the fuck?
Brad, what are you talking about?
So I have some insight. And this is one of the good things about recording. A few days later, because we can get a little bit behind the scenes info. Apparently, while TJ was giving the rules, and if you pay attention, TJ goes from sweaty to not sweaty to sweaty. So, like, they did it several times.
Oh, I didn't. I don't usually catch that because I'm always typing so feverishly at that point.
But so apparently Brad had to get like his ankle taped or his something taped. He was away from hearing the rules. And then when it came time to do the thing, production just sort of said like, oh, you just go up there, you open the boxes and, you know, get the key. Like, it'll make sense it'll make sense when you see it. Go, just go. And nobody
told
them.
Oh,
because
no.
If you notice, Jody
is
Brad,
the same thing.
Both, they're like, what am I supposed to do here?
What was she doing then?
She did figure out to untie them.
No, but what was she doing at the time? Why didn't she hear them?
Maybe just the partners were together. I don't know.
That's weird.
But it does seem like, I mean, I'll make fun of Brad too, but it doesn't seem like this was just Brad being a total idiot.
When you were just watching, it did. Yeah. It felt like Brad was being the doofus of all doofuses. Like, Brad.
Yeah, he just got flustered in like 5 seconds. And he's like, oh, they must want me to fucking obliterate these boxes.
Right, exactly. Like,
come
on,
Brad.
I don't think he thought that's what you
were supposed to do. I think he just was like, well, fuck it, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. He's like, I can't get it open. but yeah. He just fucking Hulk rips them all open. It's incredible
to
watch.
Impressive.
Exactly. It's incredible to watch because it's like, oh my God, how is this man actually ripping open these fucking steel boxes?
I just don't know how he didn't like throw it and then like the keys go flying off the truck or something.
Yeah, off the truck. Yeah. Yep. I don't know. It was very bizarre.
bizarre is a good way to put it.
Yeah. Brad gets all the way to the top. Jody, she struggles hard untying her knots and rope, and they time out.
Yeah.
Specifically, she times out because Brad, since he just fucking ripped all the boxes up, he got done real quick.
Yeah, he was up there done.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jody, and she's beating herself up over this, too. Yeah. Like, you can tell, she's a very competitive person.
Yes.
She takes it very seriously, mm-hmm. and when she didn't do it, she was, like, on the verge of tears.
Yeah.
And it's
Trust me, if it wasn't for Brad, I don't think they would have been as DQ'd. Maybe somebody else would have got worse. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think the ripping is what.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's totally what put them
finding
at the
who's
bottom.
A loser here is a hard one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Brad fucking Hulk smashing.
This was easy
that
for
shit.
TJ. Yeah, this was easy for TJ to decide the loser. Yeah. I mean, it would have been hard.
Producers
are the producers.
It's not like TJ was sitting there going
with his clipboard.
Who's going to take notes?
Let me evaluate each performance carefully.
He went, huh? Huh? Oh, Brad and okay. Like that was the extent of his decision.
But it's TJ's final and it's TJ's game, okay? And this is TJ's challenge.
I'm part of other challenge groups because I like to promote our stuff on there because I'm that person. But,
that's awesome. Good for you.
Sometimes I see people like, how do you think TJ comes up with some of these things? And I'm just like, TJ doesn't come up with shit. TJ shows up.
I like to
play
along.
Says his shit, goes back to his house to hang out with his friends and family.
Listen, I know that TJ didn't decide who won, but it's just.
I know. I'm just. I play along. That situation just popped into my head and I'm just people. TJ doesn't decide stuff. He's the host. The producers tell him what he needs to say, and that's it.
Yeah, TJ doesn't care.
No.
Sometimes I've heard he does like the challenges and likes to do them.
I've heard that too.
On his own,
that's
just to kind of see what the challenges are like.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But he's not out there with, like with the contractor, like, all right, guys, we need to get some rigging up here. Get that across. You know what? Put fire on top of it. We're going to put fire on top of it. Can you run some pipe for some fire?
Right. TJ's not doing that. TJ would never be the one that was promoting all this stupid fire stuff. TJ would, I think TJ would think it was dumb too.
No.
I think TJ likes the pyro, the explosions. I do think that TJ probably. Oh, I think he does. I bet he does.
Gives a shit. I think he likes driving the tanks and shit.
Because he's
like
there
that.
When the stuff's exploding, and he's always like, yeah. Like, I think he kind of likes the explosions.
We learned last season on All Stars that his favorite part is the air horn.
Oh yeah,
he loves. He's like, sweet air horn.
He loves running the air horn. And then finally up is MJ and John A, which I kind of alluded to earlier.
Johnny crushes this. Yeah, she does. She's so fast.
I am more impressed with her.
Yeah.
Every time I watch her compete in this show, like last season, this season, every single time I'm more impressed with her. And, the fact of how low she, flies under the radar of everyone, that people don't look at her as a threat, is absolutely incredible to me. And it speaks to, the game she's playing, because she obviously performs and she gives it her all. I think she always has a good chance if she makes it to a final.
Do you think she'd do this well on the regular show?
No.
They moved her over?
No.
Too competitive?
I'm not trying to take anything away.
No, I think it's athleticism of younger people would be hard for her. I mean, because it's not that, it's, like, sometimes when she does these things, it's not pretty, but she gets it done.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not super fast, but she gets it done. Yeah. And so I don't know if she would be competitive on the real season with some of the younger kind of spry competitors, but she definitely has a lot less quit than some of those young pups. Yeah. I mean, if it came down to like, oh, this is hard and they all quit, Jhené would never quit, you know, like, so, you know, it goes, you know, I don't think that just routinely on every episode she would do well, but there would be things that she would excel in.
I'm not trying to take away anything from her. I like her as a person and as a competitor. But no, I don't think she'd perform as well.
You can't do 20 years. 20 years is incredible.
That's what I was
going
to say. She's early 30s at this point, right?
Oh,
and she's competing younger. Against people in their 40s, which is like, that's a big 10 years. And you know, I don't know. They're not trying quite as hard. I don't think they're friendly. There's some relationships in here. I don't know. I just don't think she's as competitive against some of the younger people.
I think though that her social game is top notch.
Yes.
And I do feel like that maybe if she went to the regular season, she could get through with just her social game alone.
Yeah, I think that's true too.
You know, without actually having to win challenges and that. Yeah. But yeah, I just feel like her chances of winning the whole season are lower on the main show. But yeah, her social game is freaking on point, man.
I was just curious if we were so impressed with her because of that she has done a complete turnaround, or if it's just because she's not competing against like Tori and
What do you think,
other people? I think it's, she's good on this show. I don't think she would be as good on the other show.
Yeah. I agree. But that's, again, not to take anything away from her, 100%, because she's fucking destroying this show.
Listen, she's destroying this, and she is not.
But I think she's competing on an equal level to what she was competing on the other show.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the athleticism is the same.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, that stuff is ramped up in the past, like, 5 seasons or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she's still doing the same stuff. Just on this show. And so we can see that she's definitely improved.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not just that the show is easier. It's just the show now is harder than when she was on originally.
Yeah.
So she's at pretty much the same level as where she was when she was on the regular show.
Athletically, I totally agree, but I think her social game is much better than it used to be.
Yes, that too.
Oh, it's so incredible.
She doesn't have Zach as an anchor either.
Right.
And I think just her overall self-confidence plays into the no-quit attitude. I feel like she's lived enough life, and I feel like when you're young, there's a lot of things that you think you can't do. But I know, like a lot of my mom friends that are moms, like something about having a child makes you feel invincible. And I can, you know, childbirth is one of those things that like I haven't been through it, so I don't know. But from what everyone says, it does. It seems like a very transformative experience. Like if I can get through this, like I can do anything, kind of a thing. So, you know, I think she's using a lot of her life experiences that she didn't have when she was younger, kind of fueling her fire and pushing her through.
Childbirth's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's easy. Listen, most women have gone through it, so it's fine.
People have done it for thousands upon thousands of
years.
Most of the time with no medical care, even.
It's fine.
And look, even animals do it without even medical care. Yeah.
The hate is coming.
I want to see you give birth and then lick off the afterbirth like a dog does. Yeah. See, it's obviously easy.
And listen, I've had a kid, and I think my experience during childbirth is like the same as Hillary's. Yeah. Like exactly the same.
The same.
So it's fine. Yeah.
It's totally fine. They're totally being facetious friends.
Don't talk for us.
I am. I'm trying to help you because we're going to get some hate.
Oh, no, we're not going to get some hate.
You'll get hate. I won't get hate because I didn't.
Oh, I don't know. You're about to get hate from one of our reviews. Spoiler. Oh,
I always get some kind of hate. But I'm not getting
them up. Bring them in. Amanda drinks them.
I always get hate from reviews, but I'm not going to get hate about this situation.
No, I'm sure you won't. No.
That's what I'm saying.
They know we're kidding. They know.
Oh, let's see. They weren't the last. But at this point, Nehemiah and Melinda know that somebody from their side is going to win this thing.
Yeah.
Because they have finished, and so at minimum, they're going to win if Tech and Ayana don't finish faster than them.
Right.
So they're super pumped. Tech and Ayana. Tech says we may fight like a married couple, but we're going to make up today. And then Ayana says, and make a baby.
I think Ayana's got a little crush.
Oh, huge crush. Well, yeah. She said it from the jump.
His scepter or something. What? Something weird.
I am obsessed with the do the baby dance.
Oh, yeah.
Now push it out. Like, I literally was obsessed with this. I was like, I have a good friend that when we were young and used to go to like the clubs, like Club Rain downtown. Like,
oh my God, Club Rain. Yeah.
Yeah. When we used to,
she used to go to Revelations.
Oh yeah. Oh, when I was in high school, like, the teenage dance club.
Time.
Oh,
yeah, are you kidding? Was a shithole.
Oh no, I loved it. It was everything. I loved going and dancing.
Revelations.
I think
local jokes.
Did you go to Revelations? Wolf?
I've never.
Oh, he was too God. Old. He was way too old.
I went to Revelations.
I went to some other.
Like, he was like 4.5 years older than me. Like, though, so, I mean, like, I.
My
went
grandma to, never would have let me go to Revelations.
I went to Revelations. Mom took me there. What are you talking about?
By the time I was 16, Revelations was done. It was Stone Cold Country after that.
Stone Cold Country
would be better.
Country, that's a gag.
What up, you son of a bitch? You get hit with the chair on the way in. What the fuck was I going to say?
I don't know, Revelation.
They put up some music venue in there for like 2 weeks and 1209 Tawanda played, and I went
then. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that was it. Because they got in trouble. They got in trouble because I introduced them, and... So our friend Polk had this idea, we're going to hand out anti-1209 Tawanda propaganda before the show.
Okay.
And so they like, 1209 makes kids with braces eat rocks or something.
Right.
And apparently a bunch of those kids took those and slid them into like a gumball machine or something they had.
Yeah, there were.
So then 1209, so then they got in trouble and weren't allowed to play there anymore. Because they dispersed such things to allow someone to do that. To their property.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Anyways, but I did. I loved the baby dance. It was fabulous.
You do. We're the three of us care.
Yeah,
nobody
no,
else cares.
I
fuck everybody.
Polk's not even watching, so he doesn't even care.
Right?
Fuck you, listeners. We talk about what we want.
Yeah. Our show.
And you'll listen. And you'll like it.
You'll pay for it and you'll like it.
That's right.
Do you?
Thank you.
Right. Namaste.
Ayana, she makes it to the top, but Tech doesn't end up getting all his locks and make it there.
Tech's
right.
Like, fuck this, I'm not getting hung up, and just runs and jumps up on the...
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Question, did you guys notice Ayana did two boxes and then took two keys up? Why didn't people just open them all?
Why are you running back and forth like an idiot? That's wasting time.
Yeah. That's why there's rules against that.
That's what I was going to say. Because every single person got a key unlocked. Ayana opened up two boxes at the same time. I think Ayana broke the rules. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't have any implications, anything.
But she was the only one I saw do that, which is the smarter approach. So there must have been a rule that says you couldn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
But hey, she didn't bust up the boxes.
But I kind of noticed, though, is that she ran back for the other key. She might have opened the two boxes, but she only took one key up, still, I think.
Why not just open all four or five or whatever?
But that's when I decided that there had to be a rule. When she didn't like take both up there and just unlock both, I felt like there had to be a rule. You could untie them all, though. I think that's the way to do it.
Faster, I think.
Yeah. I think you should have just untied them all, and then make your four trips real fast back and forth.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be less like start and stop.
Yeah.
And more like, oh, if I'm on a roll undoing these knots, I should just keep undoing them.
Totally, I think that's a better approach.
I thought that it's worth saying that all the women did really well at this challenge, and maybe it's the fact that men don't have patience for knots. I've noticed that before, like if something is tangled, Brian's like, rah, he gets like freaked out, and I'm like, just hand it to me.
I just pull it tighter. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
And I feel like a lot of men do this, like something that's like tedious, like
that's so sexist to say that, Amanda. So sexist.
There are not many.
Trust me, I've seen a man get frustrated with stuff too.
Oh yeah.
She's trying to do something with the screwdriver and it's not working.
I just throw it. I just chuck it.
It's amazing because Amanda's like, sometimes I just need a pound on something. So you'll see her mess something up, and very methodically she just goes over. Bam, bam, bam. All right, now I feel better, and she'll get back to work.
Just got to release that demon.
Whereas me, I would just smash the thing and flip it. Right. Like, just out of nowhere. She just knows, no, I just need to pound on something. She'll pound on it three times, and then she'll be like, all right,
three.
I'm good.
It's always three. Yep. One, two, three.
It is. It's always three. But it is funny, though. I do. And I say that at work, too, because, that's my go-to. Like, when finally, shit has hit the fan and I am so frustrated, I'm like, I just need to go somewhere and just put something three times. Feel better. It's like kind of release.
I've had this problem all my life. I remember being seven. Getting a kite, my first kite for Easter.
A kite.
And I woke up before everybody else and I found my Easter basket and I got the kite out and I was putting it together and the sticks wouldn't go in right. And eventually I was like, you goddamn son of a bitch. Just grab him, break him over my knee.
That fucking kite.
Put it all back in the bag, put it back in the Easter basket. So then later when the parents come down, you're like, oh, but it's broken.
It's all fucked up.
Definitely didn't have a Hulk outrage about it.
Who broke this kite into 20,000 pieces?
Brad.
TJ even congratulates the women for killing this challenge. And then says that basically, obviously, Nehemiah and Melinda are the winners of this because they were the only ones to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
And then TJ says, Brad, Hulk smashing equipment never gets you anywhere.
Never okay.
You're DQ'd. Done. Last place. Going straight into elimination.
Toilet
Brad.
Flush.
I know. The last elimination right before the final.
Yep.
Like, you can't be doing crazy stuff. And that's the thing.
You should have just raised a hand, but I was getting my ankle taped. Nobody told me the rules.
Yeah. That's one of those things. So it goes.
I mean, who knows? I mean, he might have argued after the fact. We're not going to see it because they just edited that out.
Yeah.
Well,
and we've always said the challenge is, it's not always fair. It's not a totally fair game. It's not an NBA or the ML. There's not referees. There's always some amount of just sort of subjectivity here. Mm-hmm. And they got the short end of the stick. Bummer.
Right. We said that back in Champs versus Pros. Remember? Yeah. Because the pros were having a real hard time with some of these challenge things. And Johnny kind of skating the rules, figuring out what the rules are. And then running right on along the edge of him.
Yep.
And they were like, well, isn't that cheating? And it's like, no, as long as you follow the rules, and you don't break a rule, you're fine.
Yep.
It is very much kind of a weird challenge gray area sometimes. But this is not one of those cases. You can't break stuff, Brad. Like, you know that's not the case. Like, you know that wasn't the right way to do this. You just panicked because you had 3 freaking minutes. Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah. It's clear. I do just, if that story is true, that they didn't hear the rules, I feel a little bit of sympathy for them. But, you know, not that much. It's right. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
What are you going
to do? You're going to take your, like, $50,000 you made and go home.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So back at the house, we get Nehemiah and Melinda's deliberation. Like, I don't even know why they even showed this. This was dumb. Like,
it seemed like they were trying to joke, but it didn't.
Yeah.
Played off real weird.
It was very bizarre, but, basically, it was the easiest, decision all game. We get King's Palace, champagne toast,
but why
to the finals.
Why did they do the lifesavers on Tech and
Young? They didn't even need to use them. They just put everybody's name somewhere. Like, what it was.
Because the winners don't get to pick, right? They don't get to vote.
Right. Winners don't get to vote. Losers don't get to vote.
So it's not even a strategic thing. Like, well, this will get rid of our vote, so then we don't have to say anybody's name. So it literally is just like, eh.
Yeah.
In case some weird twist shows up and somehow Tech and Iana get up for elimination.
This whole thing was really weird, and I think the life shield is a broken mechanism. I hope we never see that again. It is done now. But
it would have been effective this time.
Well, maybe, but it wasn't.
If they didn't win, it would have been effective because it would have put Nehemiah and Melinda in the final.
Well, it would have meant they lost their vote, I guess. That would have been the consequence of it. But, you know, I don't know. It was silly. And what I don't like, too, is that there's still 5 teams and only one team voted. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
In what world is that like an okay solution? And
well, I think the logic is the 2 teams that are up are obviously going to vote for the other team. So
right.
Take them out.
Yeah. I mean, I understand like the mathematics of it, but it just kind of doesn't make sense to me. Like why does only one team out of 5 vote? And the one team is the team that votes is simply because they won the last elimination. Not even the team that won this challenge, but the team that won the last elimination. It's because they held the life shield.
It's because they were the only team not in the vote. Because typically, if they had given them the life shield, they shouldn't have been able to vote.
Right, and then nobody would
vote. Yes, exactly. In the last episode, it's like that is how it worked. If you were given the life shield, basically you were nominated, and then given the life shield, you didn't have a vote anymore.
That's just proving my point further, that this game doesn't make sense. Like, there's a broken mechanic in this game. This shouldn't work out this way, that there's 5 teams and one team votes, and the team that's voting really has no, like, skin in this game. Like, it didn't come down to who won that challenge. It didn't come down to anything other than they won the last elimination. Other than
they are the team that is safe.
Right. But that's why the life shield thing is stupid. Like, that mechanism is stupid. Like, this game...
But minus life shield. Minus the life shield. If there was no life shield and... Melinda and Nehemiah won, and it's the 3 other teams.
Right.
The 2 teams are nominated, and this season, they can't vote.
The way I would do it, the 2 nominated teams can't vote.
Yes.
But everybody else can. So then we have 3 out of 5 teams voting. That makes way more sense to me.
Or 3. Yeah, I guess 3 teams. Yeah,
3. That's better. That's in fact, perfect. That would be a fine solution. But 1 team out of 5? You guys don't have any problem with this?
I think it's kind of weird that the losers don't get to vote. That's where I find weird. It's not that the 2 teams that are nominated at this point don't get to vote. It's that the losers don't get to vote.
They should get to have a say in who they're going against.
That's the one that I kind of have a little bit of a weird thing about. It's not that the 2 teams up for nominations can't vote. It's that the loser team has no vote. So you can't even include them.
Yeah.
Well, and then never mind the fact that it worked out okay. But once they went to pairs, it's even numbers, friends. You're in pairs, obviously. Right. So if everyone's voting individually, it's amazing we didn't have more ties. You know what I mean? Before this episode.
Yeah. I don't know. This maybe bothered me more than it should have. I just am stuck on it. Like, why are the only votes that matter Tech and Iana? Like, they're not, why is it them?
They're just the only ones left.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Yeah.
The game's broken. They should have, played this game out and realized, oh, that's fucking stupid. That's a dumb way to do it.
So then we get the King's Palace champagne toast to the finals. Oh, when they go down to see the things, I thought it was really cute that Janelle said she just took a shower and she doesn't want to get her feet sandy. So Darrell asks her if she wants a horsey back ride. Oh, so freaking precious. I want a horsey back ride from Darrell. It's adorable. When my back hurts, well, like, that's precious.
We're going to talk about Darrell after this recap. So
yeah.
I bought Darrell a hot dog one time.
Maybe you don't want a piggyback ride from Darrell.
No. Oh, no.
He would trip over drunk and get you arrested.
Oh, no. I'm sad.
Don't be sad.
It doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal.
I love him.
It's not.
Darrell says after he sees kind of the nominees, he says that Jenna and MJ will just go and do all this schmoozing because that's what they do. Hey, rightfully so, Darrell. That's how you play a social game
that's
here.
The game. Like, that's the game.
That's the game. Jenna goes to Ayana and pitches basically to Ayana. And then we get Darrell and Janelle. And this is where you feel like Janae knows, like, she does a good job with Ayana. Like, Ayana is kind of a loose cannon.
What?
No.
Not kind of. She is.
Eat your salad. I didn't even use a fork. I just.
She is a loose cannon. But Johnny really knows how to talk to her in this moment, and I feel like she did a really good job at selling herself or selling to keep her.
Right.
Then we get Darrell and Janelle talking. Janelle talks about her back and her career, and that she's worried because she's a surgical nurse. Those surgical nurses stand all day and they like lean over these like instrument trays. Like, first of all, like, I can see how now, like, once she said that, I was like, yeah, you probably had the same kind of stress that I had on my back, because she's a tall woman too. I mean, she's tall. I'm tall. I think a lot of my back stuff started when I was like, I've worked at a pharmacy all my life. And initially I was at a retail pharmacy and I was counting pills at a normal standards height counter. Well, when you're 6 foot, a standard height counter is pretty low. So you just like bend over at like a weird angle and put this like stress on your back. And so once she said that, I immediately saw the fact that, like, you're a surgical nurse. You're just standing over those shitty instrument trays for hours upon hours on end, kind of hunched over, kind of leaning and reaching. And I'm sure that if it wasn't an actual accident, that just some of that stress alone would have added to it. So felt bad for her. Darrell, though, unfortunately, does not feel bad for her. He says, like, well, quit then. Like,
I'm going to defend Darrell here, because I think they caught him towards the tail end of this discussion when he's sort of exhausted by it.
Oh, he's...
Because he's... it feels
exacerbated.
Like, I'm putting myself in Darrell's shoes, and maybe this is just me projecting my own marital issues onto their relationship.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can tell he's just like, Janelle, if you're going to quit, then quit. Yeah, what do you want me to say about it?
Yeah.
I already told you you could quit if you want to. Just stop asking me. He just seemed exhausted.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was being mean to Janelle. Right. I don't think he was being out of line. I think he was just saying, like, if you need to quit, then quit. But let's stop talking about it. Like, yeah. I'm upset about it, obviously. I'm not going to stop you. But just go. If you're going to go, go.
Right.
I think he was just trying to end it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give Darrell a little credit. I know he came off of that scene looking shitty, but frustration level. I'm going to give Darrell a little credit.
He did. He didn't look super great in all these occasions where he's kind of talking to her. But in the same turn, too, I don't know. I think Janelle is a lot like me. I think that she's doing a real good job at hiding kind of how bad she is hurting. So sometimes when you do that, other people don't really understand, like what, like you're able to, you did that. You're, you know what I mean? Like, people look at you all the time, like,
put your own damn shoes on.
You could do that. Like, so what's the problem? You know, or like, they just don't understand how bad it is. You know, because you just hide it. So,
yeah.
So I think that some of it could have been that he just wasn't quite aware maybe of how hard, and maybe I just, like, you projected, I projected onto her, and I was like,
we're both doing it.
Oh my God. Like, my back was bad. Oh my God. But I would be just like her. Like, I would be having this, like, internal battle of, like, do I keep going, risking injuring myself further, or, you know, do I quit, you know, like.
Wolfie,
so,
would you like to project your issues?
I would have died of a heart attack already. So me and Darrell wouldn't have even had this conversation. Darrell would have been like, TJ would be like,
you
gotta
go
home,
Darrell.
You
don't have anything to project on people. You don't have any commonalities.
Bring out the stretcher.
Sorry I died, bro. But that's how it goes.
She says that she tells Darrell she knows she isn't in any condition to run a final. Darrell reminds her, though, that we don't know what the final will look like and how it's going to work. When we get there, it might be an individual game. So
then she can quit.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Then you can quit. Because she keeps talking to Darrell.
Yeah.
At this point, though, she does keep talking. And then this is when you kind of like, okay, Darrell, you have, right? Because she says, like, she doesn't want to take the opportunity away from somebody else. And it's like, wait a minute. By you, like, basically, like, wanting to put yourself in this elimination, you're jeopardizing Darrell's game. That's what he says. Like, but you're okay with taking mine away? Like,
right.
I think snaps her kind of back into, right, like, reality.
Yeah, because then after this, she does seem to be more on Darrell's side. Because, I do think that was part of Darrell's point, is that I think what Janelle wanted to hear was Darrell to say, like, oh, my God, Janelle, I totally get it. I understand that you're in pain. Of course, quit, please, of course. I don't want to put you through that.
Yes.
But Darrell didn't say that. He just said, like, well, if that's really what you need to do, then do it, but I don't want you to.
Yeah.
And so I think Janelle kind of kept pushing until Darrell was finally just sort of like, do what you gotta do, but just stop talking about it. But I don't think either of them is a bad person, or that either of them said or did the wrong thing. But
no, and I think that she's just having a super, like, hard internal struggle about it all, and she's kind of just voicing her internal struggle, knowing that deep down inside she's not gonna quit on Darrell. I mean, she, you know what I mean. But I think then Darrell is, like, listening to her and is like, oh, my God, is she going to quit? Like, you know, and then kind of pushing back a little bit. Like, are you really going to do this? Think about it. And kind of giving, you know. So, yeah, it's a hard conversation to watch.
I noticed at the end Darrell got into bed and then he put earplugs in and then muffling headphones over the top of him.
Yeah, that's his leave me the fuck alone.
That dude, he must need, like, that to sleep. It was like too much going on in this house.
Yeah.
Right. I needed to be dead quiet.
Are you kidding? I bet that house is so loud.
Yeah.
I bet like when you go to bed, like people are yelling, it echoes all the way through that place. I bet it's nuts.
Yeah. Well, and these people are old, so you know, they're all snoring and they're not used to sleeping
in
like
rooms,
in a dorm
shared
room,
rooms,
basically.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that shit either.
That's a crazy thing, like these shared rooms and stuff.
Oh, fuck
you
that.
Know,
as a
I watched
40-year-old, fuck that. I know, right? I ain't doing that shit.
I watched that.
sleep in the closet.
I watched that 20-somethings Austin, Texas on Netflix, the Real World, the Netflix Real World, right? And they all got their own rooms.
Oh, see, yes, that'd be, yes, that's how it should be done.
Yeah, so no sharing rooms on that show. I was like, wow. Fancy. And the men and women had like separate kind of apartments,
like wings of the house.
No, they were like apartments, and then there was like a pool in the middle, so they had their own kitchens. Right. It was like a full, like, or no, let's call them
men's kitchen was probably terrible.
It probably was. No, the men had one guy that was like super clean, neat freak guy,
Joss and his speedo and gloves.
So he helped keep it straight up. But yeah, it's crazy that they all have to like in these bunk rooms. I mean, granted, there were only, what were there, four and four.
I think four beds, so eight people.
There were eight people on the season of 20.
Oh, I see.
20 something.
Gotcha.
There were only eight, whereas like the challenge is like,
it's like 30 people.
30, yeah, exactly. So I get it. I mean, you can't get 30 people in their own bedrooms, but these like military style like racks of bunk beds is a little excessive,
I
feel like.
Miserable. I would not do good in that.
For the All-Stars, though, they don't have as many of those bunk beds. They have some regular beds, I've noticed.
You're sleeping in a room with six people, and that's hard. When we did a bunch of hostels in Europe, and it was hard. I think I was in my early 30s, 31, 32 when we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really weird to go back to sleeping in a room with like 8-12 people.
Yeah.
It was a very
strangers
uncomfortable.
Too.
Yeah, strangers. Yeah. Yeah, it was really weird. Yeah, you had to have earplugs and stuff on. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was hard to do.
Yeah.
So that way you couldn't hear people mugging you in the middle of the night.
Right.
So that takes us to selection.
Don't say my name, bitch.
Kind of already talked about it.
Yeah. MJ speaks right up. Janae says she's okay with whatever happens. Darrell says he knows it's their decision, but he doesn't like being on this side of it. Janelle says she is just trying to stay focused and push through for Darrell. And that's it. Ayana says that she wants to get rid of Brad and Jody.
Oh, Brad and Jody are already going in.
Oh, she wants to get rid of Brad and Jody. So the best chance at getting rid of Brad and Jody is to send in Darrell and Janelle.
Gotcha.
Right.
And then Tech, being the social game guy that he is, he's like, why am I gonna make this decision? Let's just put it back on Nehemiah and Melinda, since if we split the vote, they break the tie.
Right.
So, basically Tech just votes for, MJ and John A, out of just not wanting to make the decision.
Yeah. Which is stupid, by the way. I don't like this approach.
I think it's Tech preparing for the All-Stars 3.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
What?
I think he's trying not to get blood on his hands for this round, so if he sees these people again, they won't be like, well, in the last the elimination last right before elimination, the final, you voted me in.
Right.
Okay. Right. And these are strong teams that all these people could very well come back again.
Yeah.
You know? I get that.
Nehemiah to do it. So mm-hmm. Nehemiah's got the blood on his hands.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that makes sense. I would have liked it more, I guess, if they thought or if they said, you know, we're the palace. We do this together. We're not going to leave Melinda and Nehemiah out of this vote.
Oh, sure.
We're gonna toss them a vote just so that all of us can vote. I don't know. That would have been more of a camaraderie excuse. Because the blood on the hands thing, I get it for All Stars 3, but for All Stars 2, that doesn't really work because there's no eliminations left. No. This is done.
It has nothing to do with it.
It's a good move for All Stars 3. It's a
meaningless right now.
Nothing thing for All Stars 2.
Yeah.
So Melinda and Nehemiah have to break the tie. They send in Darrell and Janelle, basically because they're going to put their two biggest threats, or what they envision as their biggest threats, because I think MJ and Janae are a sleeper team. I think they don't give them as much credit as they should. They think that those two teams are the biggest threats. So send in Darrell and Janelle.
Someone pointed out, I don't remember who it was.
I mean, Darrell makes a final. Yeah.
Melinda, maybe that. Yeah, if you put Darrell in a final, then he's
already been
more
there.
Than likely going to win.
Yeah. Well, and he's got the most final experience out of everyone that's left.
Every final that he's made it to, he's won, with the exception of All-Stars 1.
All-Stars 1.
That's it.
I was going to say. So
I see your point. It's just put Darrell in the elimination on the off chance that he goes home.
Yeah. Well, Darrell and Janelle versus Brad and Jody. Those have to be the two biggest teams, right? Those are the two favorites.
Well,
to win.
Nehemiah and Melinda. I'd say the three.
Okay, those.
I would have put the three together. All three of them are very, very, very equal to me in my mind.
Point being, these are the best two teams to throw in.
Oh yes, if you're Nehemiah, the winner, and Melinda. Yes.
If you're the palace, these are the teams you want.
Exactly. So MJ and John A are relieved and pumped to make it to the final. Darrell says that they just put a fire in his ass, so you better watch out. Brad says that it was the last team that he would have picked to go against, but he's got to do what he's got to do. John A goes and thanks Nehemiah. She's teary. They hug it out. And then Nehemiah does this thing where he says he hates people. You don't have to go into elimination before a final.
Yourself,
right. Listen, don't be mad because they played a better game than you.
Yeah.
That's it. And,
he's just being a blowhard. Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah. He says that this is Johnny's second time doing it.
So what?
Dude, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. If anything, if you can make it to a final without going into elimination, it's impressive. I mean, we say that about Johnny Bananas back in the day. Why won't we say it about, them now? I just don't understand.
Sour grapes.
It is.
Nehemiah's got sour grapes.
It is.
He needs to back off. Who cares?
So, He says, but he knows that Darrell and Janelle are the bigger threat, so he couldn't send in John A. and MJ. Then we get Janelle and Darrell talking again. Janelle says that, like, Janelle has put her mind right. She says she's going to push through and give it her all.
Yes.
Darrell is pumped, to have her back, in kind of game mode and less kind of like surrender mode. She was kind of into like surrendering. Darrell says that he has letters that his family wrote for him to open.
This is adorable.
This is precious.
Wolfie loved it. Wolfie's favorite part.
I rolled my eyes so hard.
Because they were crying? Because you were tearing up?
Sure.
Listen, so if I sent you a picture of you and your grandma, I was like, she's with you. Like, that wouldn't do anything for you.
Rip it up like Sinead for real? O'Connor.
Like, that woman didn't motivate you to do anything. Like,
that woman would have no clue what the fuck I'm doing right now. She'd be like, challenge what?
No, but she always wanted the best for you and you to succeed. And, like, that wouldn't be motivating.
But she would probably be like, I wouldn't go on that show. You might get hurt.
Whose picture would you need to be motivated?
Me.
Like,
Brad's.
All right. Tim, if you were at home, like, and you got a letter, whose photo would you need there that would fuel your fire and motivate you, kind of like how
my
his
kids,
grandma
100%,
did?
Yeah, kids,
your kids.
This is my vomit emoji. Yeah.
You ain't got it.
No, and I wonder, because we didn't see anything else. And he had two other letters we didn't see him open. Yeah. I bet his kids were in there.
Oh, the kids had written letters too.
Yeah, but I mean, I bet their photos were in there too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that was the emotional, heartstrings one. I kind of think that if, like, I was on the challenge, like, Brian might send some pic of my mom and I for the similar kind of impact, you know?
Like, here's a picture of Margo. You'd be like, my dog.
But
I gotta prove that I can do this for my dog.
Yeah.
I
set a good example.
She'd come home and she'd be like, I proved it. The dog would be like, where's the bone?
I hope Margo's proud of me.
I just want a treat.
I did feel his the impact of this. Like, he really wasn't, like, you know, he expected it to be like a pump you up letter,
right?
Kind of thing. I don't think that he ever, in his wildest dreams, thought there would be a picture of his grandmother and him in there. Yeah. And it really touched him and meant a lot to him. And I totally understand this, how like in that moment, and like, this is too, like, you know, like, Darrell is such a tough dude who doesn't, you know, show much emotion, you know, kind of this way. And, you know, to see that gasping, you know, like, when he opened the letter, it's like, I feel that. Like, I know exactly kind of what you feel like. It's so touching that it just, like, you know, takes your breath away almost. But, yeah. I felt for him in this moment and got a little teary myself, you know, but basically his wife tells him, you know, to carry the picture and she'll be with you and give you good luck.
That picture will be soggy mess.
Yes, and that's fine. I'm sure it's a copy. I'm sure they have the original at home.
Nope.
Yes.
She took it out of the frame, but like, this is the only one we got. Put it in the letter and sent it.
So yeah, that takes us to the arena. So the challengers are brought in, and TJ announces that this elimination is Smash House.
Smash House.
Yeah. And we knew this from the moment they walked in.
Oh yeah, obvious.
Super obvious.
Of this before, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked this one because of kind of the double layer effect of it. I don't know why they didn't put anything in the room except for cinder blocks, though.
Yeah,
like,
that's all
for real.
Matter,
they're the
right?
heaviest. The heaviest thing in the room. Like, everything else is just decor.
Yep.
Should have put no cinder blocks.
Yeah.
Should have just been all wood stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been more interesting.
You wouldn't have known. Like, yeah, exactly. Yep. You would have had a harder time figuring out what's heavier when it's at the end a weighted challenge.
Yeah. And it's probably another really good challenge for Janelle because she was in the second component. So no heavy lifting, no heavy smashing.
No, same deal though.
If they switched.
Oh,
Janelle's like, I'll take the sledgehammer.
That
would have
been bad for Janelle.
And
but she kind of lucked out this whole round.
Stayed low. She wasn't. You noticed like
she squatted all the way down.
Jody was like standing and bending over. Like, Janelle wasn't doing that. She was fully squatted to the floor and moving doing stuff very methodically, which actually worked better, I think, in her favor, because she was like her right kind of there at that same level where, what the frick, Jody had to move or whatever. Okay. Well, anyways, let's talk about this. It's one fully furnished room. Let's explain the rules. There's one fully furnished room and one empty room. The person in the fully furnished room has to smash the stuff and fit it through a 6-inch hole. Then their teammate in the other room has to smash the stuff down further to put it through a 3-inch hole into a container. Then the team with the most weight in their container after 10 minutes wins. So
10 minutes of this type of labor is fucking hard.
No, especially if you're going full bore.
Full throttle, like 10
easily
minutes.
Easily kind of going, but
just a long time.
It's crazy with, I mean, Darrell and Brad especially, they're lifting cinder blocks, smashing them, throwing that sledgehammer around. That is really hard work. Mm-hmm. The women not trying to limit what they're doing, but I mean, it's just, it's very hard work. Yeah. Very hard work.
Super duper physical. Brad is excited that he actually is supposed to Hulk out this time.
This seems like a perfect thing for him.
I loved, like, I thought Brad's technique was really good. He just didn't have as good of follow through as I think he needed on his plan. But he basically was throwing the cinder blocks against the wall, breaking them down right next to the hole that he had to push them through.
Right.
So I thought this was super smart because, I mean, you're basically tearing these cinder blocks off anyways. Instead of just like moving it, setting it down and smashing it with the sledgehammer, he was just throwing it, making it shatter or at least break a little bit. So that he was kind of ahead of the game. Jody comments about her man hands, and then on top of it with gloves, she couldn't hardly feel or fit stuff. Felt like fitting stuff through the hole. I feel her, dude. I got giant hands. Like, you put gloves on these hands and all of a sudden I just become klutzy and terrible. And like a 3-inch hole, like, are you kidding? Like, trying to, like, you got these giant hands, these big gloves trying to shove stuff through. So I could see how you would kind of like lose stuff, you know, like as you were trying to push it through if your hands were bigger. So I don't know. Janelle's a tall girl too, though. So she probably has pretty big hands too.
Me and Amanda have the same size hands.
We do.
Really?
Exactly the same.
I've got kind of small hands for a dude my size.
She's got skinny fingers.
I have the skinny fingers, but I have the longest fingers ever.
I bet your hands are bigger.
Oh, they're way bigger. I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, not way bigger. quarter inch.
My hands are way bigger.
I do have small hands. I have small hands for a big dude.
Right? I know. I have these like giant. And now they look like freakish. Like if you watch the video, like I feel like they look really long now that they're skinny.
They do not look abnormal.
Skinny, tiny.
They fingers. Look fine. But look at these little babies. Look at
but
these
we also have babies. The exact same size feet.
Oh.
His are just wider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What size, Wolfie?
10.5.
10.5.
11. Fuck wow. You. Beat you. Beat you on that one.
Well, I wear a women's 12, so that blows. Oh, it's horrible to find shoes. Janelle does notice that everyone is, or Jody notices that everyone is cheering for Janelle.
Yeah. She should take that as a compliment. I know she's offended at that, but what they're really saying is, I don't want to compete against
you. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Exactly,
so it's,
Jody.
It really is it's a compliment. I know it's hard to internalize that at the moment, but it's, she should be proud about that.
Yeah.
Come on, fuckers.
Right. One of them.
Why are you not cheering for me?
One of them says that comparing Jody and Janelle, that Janelle, it's a sloth versus cheetah.
Yeah.
Janelle's a sloth, Jody's the cheetah, and kind of who will win this out. They are neck and neck this whole time.
Yeah.
There's a period of time where it looks like Jody is probably out in the lead, early. But then by the end, man, you can't tell by looking at the bins. Like I did think that Darrell and Janelle's bin looks slightly fuller.
Yeah.
But not enough.
It doesn't tell
not
the whole
enough
story.
To tell me. Yeah. Not enough to tell me that that they weigh. And that's just could be how the pieces fell in the bin, you know.
Exactly.
Like
I had the same thoughts. Yep.
So not enough to tell me who the clear winner is. So Janelle does say after the fact, though, that it was so much fun to do.
Yep.
So I was
excited. It was great. Y'all pushing these rocks through this hole.
Right?
You okay?
He got choked up over that.
Yeah, I did. It touched me.
Got choked up.
It touched me. Oh my gosh. In the genitals.
So at the end of 10 minutes, they all look freaking exhausted. And rightfully so.
They look hot. Do you remember what it was like to be hot?
Distant
memory.
It's been like 10 degrees in Peoria this week.
Like
so.
Negative 10 degrees. Yeah.
Literally, crazy. I came home last night and got in the bed under the covers and just stayed there and sat in bed and watched TV. Like, yeah. I ate my dinner in the bed. I didn't go anywhere. I was like, get under the covers and don't move.
It's
weird.
When it's this cold, even when you're inside in a temperature control thing, so it feels way cold. I don't know what it is physically that does that, but.
That's it. Like, our house is, the thermostat set at a certain temperature, like set temperature. It's like, that's what it is. Like,
it feels colder when it's cold outside. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is, but.
It's like the chill in the air. I think the humidity goes down. I think it makes it feel colder.
I don't know.
You know, no that idea, cold, no. dry, cold.
So who wins?
So TJ says that it comes down to 1 kilo, and they all go like, what the fuck's a kilo?
Amanda knew.
Did you?
1 kilo equals 2.2 pounds. I do that I do that conversion every day, all day. We have drugs that are dosed in...
Kilos for horses or some shit?
No, they're dosed in drugs. They're dosed in milligrams per kilo, based on your weight. So, most cancer drugs are dosed on your BSA, your body surface area, but some are based on your weight. And everything is always in kilos because the U.S. is stupid with their with their forms of measurement. Our units of measure is terrible. We should just, I don't know why we don't adopt metric and just move on.
You're not telling me how to measure stuff in America.
God,
what is it? It's us in like Lithuania or some shit like that, or some other dumb. Like another weird
the US,
obscure country.
The U.S.'s measurement system is garbage.
Hey, don't you fucking talk bad about the U.S. America. I,
love it or leave it.
I mean,
I won't tolerate that shit.
I work in healthcare, so like we just have to convert everything all the time because everything universal is done in the metric system, and the U.S. does everything in
standard
system.
I love that they call it standard, even though we're the only ones that do it that way. That's the U.S. baby.
That's us saying, the US. Like, oh, look it up.
Look, I mean, gross. At this point, I'm too old.
We are gross. That's what we are.
If tomorrow they're like, we're converting to the metric system.
Perfect.
Finally.
I love it.
You just have to kill
I'd
yourself.
I'd be like, God damn it. I won't know how to do shit.
Listen,
where are you going? I don't know.
It's way easier.
I don't know how many kilometers or whatever.
I don't know the kilometers conversion, but I know all of the like medical conversions.
I know 5 kilometers is 3.1 miles. There you go.
2.54 centimeters and an inch. I mean, I got that memorized. Right. I could do inches to centimeters, but
Yeah. I'm getting okay too. Like the degrees, it's about half. It's roughly half and then a little more.
Yeah.
That's how you convert. That's how I do it.
I'm sure my Canadian friend would disagree with
well, it's, you. Well, it's never a perfect
no,
conversion.
No, it's a formula because it adds. There's like,
there is
additional
a formula.
Factors.
No, I know, but I'm just talking like to get it a gross approximation. Close. Yeah.
He explained it to me once how it actually theirs makes way more sense. And I'm like,
it does. Well, it does. Oh, it 100%
zero
makes
is
way
freezing,
more sense.
100 is boiling. Yeah. Total, makes total sense.
Refrigerators are 2 to 8 in Celsius. Like, I love it. It's fabulous. Yeah. What's 36 to 46 is ours? Like,
oh, I don't know.
That's ours is 36 to 46. I know. 2 to 8 Celsius, 36 to 46 Fahrenheit.
People are just like, this is fast.
Listen to these people convert math,
people
right?
Like, who gives a fuck?
So they had to weigh the boxes twice. That was so close, TJ says. But ultimately
doesn't seem that close, but
2 pounds,
2 pounds. I mean, I don't know. I would reweigh.
That's, like, that's probably 3 little chunks of those, that shit that was thrown through, you know,
worth like, well, I don't know, guys, we should
re-weigh?
Weigh it again.
Yeah, no, probably not then.
I think it's just like, okay. Yeah. I think we know what's going on.
Not down to ounces. Brian's like, I'm only reweighing if we're down to ounces. Like what?
I kind of agree.
Oh Lord have mercy. But yeah. Ends up coming down. Darrell and Janelle win this.
Oh, man.
Look out.
I'm excited.
Team Brody's out. Jody put out a Insta live, I guess. Somebody posted it on the MTV Challenge subreddit where she is still devastated about this.
Yeah.
She has says she has nightmares. She can't sleep at night thinking about it. She relives it. Jody
she was the clear winner this season, for real. Like, walking into this, I would have picked her to win for the women all day, every day.
Totally. And this is the
and then once she got paired up with Brad, I was like, oh, this is...
I love an underdog, and I know Team Brody was not the underdogs, but I was rooting for them because I think Jodie is such a specimen, like of just sort of athleticism. And
specimen.
She is. She is. She's very impressive, and I know she gets all up in her head and she gets flustered and stuff. That's her downfall.
That's always been Jodie's downfall.
Yeah, but it's I wanted to see her win again, and I love Brad, of course, and against Darrell. I'm always rooting for Darrell, too.
Always rooting for Darrell.
I didn't really have a heavy favorite here, but it was sad seeing Brad and Jodie go.
Yeah. It was hard, especially with how amazing of a season they had for them to go home at this point. Like, normally at this point, we have some floater team that has floated all the way here, and then they're sad that they didn't make it to the final. To have kind of
the favorite to win,
yes, leave right before the final is pretty incredible. We don't see that happen very often at all.
Especially
because if they get there, they have enough friends left to kind of throw them a bone to not be a hard elimination if they get there. You know, it's crazy. I mean, I think it speaks to the all-stars and these older competitors, and it's crazy. But it makes for good TV. It was exciting. I never expected this. And I wasn't spoiled, so it was super shocking and exciting.
I haven't been spoiled at all on this
season either. Me neither. So then after they're finished, basically Brad and Jodie leave. They're bummed, is what it is. Jodie was much more upset than Brad. Brad had a good attitude about it. I was proud of Brad. And then TJ announces that the final challenge starts right now.
Yes. I like this part too.
Except for I could have let Darrell and Janelle have a little break. Like, I feel a little bad for
time to go.
I agree with that too, but I also, like, one of the many reasons I love Darrell, when it went to him, he's like,
all right,
fuck it, let's go. We're not done yet. We're gonna keep going.
I thought I was gonna go home and and rest, but and have a sleep, but you know. Yeah.
But he's just has a good attitude. He's never a victim. He's not going to make this a big fucking ordeal. He's just going to be like, oh, it's time to go. Okay, I guess I'm going to go. I'll be tired, but I'm going to go. I don't know. I just really like Darrell's attitude almost all the time.
Oh, yeah. He's a competitor through and through. That man likes to compete. And it doesn't matter. I don't think in what. I think he probably, he was probably a big athletic guy doing sports when he was younger. And his thing. Now. Yeah, exactly. Boxer. So, and TJ says basically, like, see you at the beach.
Yep.
They all leave.
Fuck right. All right. So none of us have been spoiled, right?
Nope.
Predictions. Who's going to win it?
Who wins it?
I don't know.
I think Nehemiah and Melinda win it.
Really?
I think if I pick from these final teams, I think with Janelle's back injury, and then I just don't think that Jhené and MJ will be as fast and as quick as Nehemiah and Melinda, which I think will affect them. So I'm going to go Nehemiah and Melinda.
Wolfie?
She puts up a good argument. Maybe I'm gonna go with Nehemiah and Melinda as well.
All right. Well, I can't have it be a tie. Or have it be a
three. All I can't all,
do that.
Right?
I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to predict that they're not going to be teams the whole time.
Okay.
Or that they'll switch teams like they did last season.
Yeah, that might be.
So I'm going to go Darrell.
Okay.
And Melinda.
Yeah.
Why not?
I like
I'm going to pick a team that's not even team right now.
You're just picking Darrell two people. Jhené. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Fucking
totally
why not?
Could be. Totally could be.
That's my totally off the wall prediction.
That's your off the wall prediction with in the back, if it is teams.
I think Darrell and Janelle.
With us.
I think Darrell
are
and
you
Janelle.
Think Janelle? Oh, yep, you're going to go Darrell and
Janelle. If they stay in the teams they are, okay. I'm going to go Darrell and Janelle.
Okay. Yep. All right. Good deal.
I think Melinda and Nehemiah will struggle with puzzles. If there's puzzles.
Okay.
All right, we heard it here
first.
I think
Nehemiah is pretty smart. I don't know if they'll struggle as much. And I think Melinda is too.
All right. We have our predictions.
So speaking of Darrell, I didn't read the article.
Yeah.
Did you read the article?
Yeah.
So Darrell got arrested this week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
He was found very drunk, passed out in a trailer park.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But this was a New Year's Eve party
situation. It was New Year's Eve. Stop.
I didn't know that.
He was just drunk.
It wasn't just some random night of the week. It was New Year's Eve.
It was New Year's Eve. And I guess he was looking for a friend, friend's house and he couldn't find it because he was drunk. And so he knocked on some doors and it made a thing and he was arrested.
Yeah.
Seems like no big fucking deal.
Yeah. I agree. It's a non-story. I thought you were going to tell me something horrible like he hurt somebody. I was going to be like, oh my God. Like
I didn't even read the article. So I didn't even know it was a New Year's Eve party. I probably would have just dismissed it.
Yeah, it was a New Year's Eve thing.
Maybe he was just wandering around like,
that's what everybody does.
I won $500,000 on challenge, so I'm just going to party it up and pass out in fucking trailer parks.
Yep. Remember I threw a New Year's Eve party down on Underhill?
Yeah.
And I went walking. There was like 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And I was drunk off my ass, and so I started trudging through the snow and I'm just vomiting, like leaving a trail of vomit all around the block. It was like not a nice neighborhood. I probably shouldn't have done that
you would have been fine.
Shockingly survived that whole thing, but
that neighborhood is not a bad neighborhood.
There was a crack house literally right across the street.
There are sketchy houses in the neighborhood.
Right across the street.
But it's not terrible.
They're like, oh, it's that guy who lives across the street. He's cool.
I wasn't like yeah. I definitely didn't look at houses in Rolling Acres, but
no, this is done by Bradley.
Oh, down by Bradley.
Rolling Acres was very sad.
Underhill.
There were like Underhill, some sketches.
For some reason, I was thinking Forest Hill.
Forest Hill was nice too.
No, it was down by Bradley.
You're right. You probably almost got knifed now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. It's always like that too. Like in big college towns, it's like, oh, where all the college kids live. Yeah, usually those turn out to be bad neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I don't understand why.
That's how it works.
But it's rental properties is what it is.
I guess.
Oh, and that's it. People don't want to live.
Goddamn landlords.
Right. No,
fucking property values everywhere.
It's general families don't want to live by a bunch of rental properties that college kids rent.
Yeah.
And that drives the neighborhood down. So then the people that will live in that neighborhood are people that don't mind partying and those kinds of
environments. I don't know why. I've seen Revenge of the Nerds. They all seem like nice people to me.
Seems very fun.
So that's why.
I definitely want to live next to Animal House.
I actually still would.
No.
Wolfie, do we have any reviews? Yes, we do.
You would now.
I still don't think you would now. Like, these fucking kids, I need to go to sleep.
Yeah, I probably would.
You'd be fucking Darrell with the earplugs and the headphones on.
That's me.
It would start off real fun, and then it would get real annoying.
Maso Awesome, I don't know how to say that, says, awesome recap. If you're a challenge fan, you'll like this podcast. I've listened for several seasons, and I'm finally writing a review. Sorry, Tim, for taking so long.
Oh, thank you.
Cole says, fun conversations and funny side conversations throughout each episode. My only complaint, it's about you, Amanda, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Is that Amanda constantly interrupts and talks over the other two hosts. But it's not enough to knock off stars, though. Fun listen, 5 stars. Thank you.
I feel like we've read that one before.
Yeah.
But
it was just published like a few days ago.
Oh, well, whatever.
Well,
either way.
Listen, we're getting that ADHD in check. Hopefully we won't be talking over people
talking
forever.
Talking over me right now. I was trying to defend you. As we pointed out early in the show, I think me and you talked over Amanda a lot. So I think
she's making up for it.
So I think we just told her.
Initially, early on.
I think we just told her, just ignore talk. Us. Just trudge
just
through.
Go.
And now, you know, that's coming back.
We've created a monster.
No, I just get my voice and I don't care if you guys are still talking. I want to say something.
I also don't care.
Me neither.
Jeezy for Sheezy says, sorry to hear Tim and Hillary are getting a divorce.
Aww.
I bitched about that last time.
Tim's not.
No, it's all good. Best to both of you. Love the show. Thanks for mentioning Nani and Kyle's teeth. Now I can't see anything else when they are on the screen. Barf emoji. The end. Thanks for leaving reviews, everybody.
Yes, thank you so much.
They're very nice. They help other people find the show.
It'd be nice to get some more before the season's over, because one more episode, guys.
Yeah, one more.
Next week is the final.
Yep.
So
one more. I'm so excited.
And then we're taking
it. It's going to be a good final. I really do like all these teams that are going in, and I do think that it is relatively close. I mean, I might have said, like, definitively, I thought that Nehemiah and Melinda, but it was literally just, it was taking out things that other people... Just thinking that maybe people will struggle or have a harder time with things, but not because they're going to be.
We don't care if you
dead last. There's some people that sometimes
by next week
be
I'll forget what you predicted.
Yep,
doesn't matter.
I was going to say something. I completely forgot what it was. Amanda started talking over me. So
damn straight, I did.
I know what you're going
to
say.
Hey Tim, people should go to challengepod.com, join the Facebook group, because the Facebook group is where it's happening. Oh, I was going to say, we're taking a planned hiatus after the final. We're just taking like a month off or something.
Yeah.
We've been podcasting straight since what, July?
Tim's got a little life to live too.
I got a little something going
on. He's got some life changes that he's got to take care of. So we're gonna take a little break ski.
And you should also head over and join our Patreon. What do people get when they join our Patreon, Tim?
All right, $1 a month exclusive access to after shows, pre-shows. We've done literally years of this, guys. So if you want to hear us talk about fast food restaurants, give us a dollar. And there's like unlimited fast food discussion.
Yeah. You think we go on side tangents on this show?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen to the after show. It's a mess.
It's a real study in psychology.
$5 a month, you get video episodes. So we post these all on YouTube. We send the link to you patrons that we like, and
that
you can watch.
They give us the $5.
They give us the $5.
Not just the ones we like.
Right.
And we like all of you.
No, I like everybody but one. Just leave them wondering which
you
one.
Know, yeah, right. Are. Just one.
You know, no, they don't know. I keep it a secret from them.
If Brian said it, there'd be one person out there who would think it was them.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And for $2 a month, we say your name. So thank you to Sarah, Emily, Danielle, Antonio, Nicole, Lucia, Mendy, Ari, Jacqueline, Isabella, Joker, Catherine, Ellen, David, Cab, Andrea, Julie, Taylor, Misty, Katie, Cassandra, Brian, Caitlin, Jamie, Anais, Bell, Abby, Xavier, Janelle, Kyla, Ethan, Cass, Shakar, Leanne, Christopher, Carlin, Sarah, Alphonse, Heidi, Allie, Christian, Angela, Daz, Danielle, Seth, Andrew, Jen, Shelby, Roland, Ryan, Madeline, Laura, Patty, George, Caroline, Alvin, Luke, LJ, Amanda, Tara, Janelle, another Janelle, Lily Scott, and Greg.
Hey, thank you, everybody.
Hey. That's it.
Thanks,
awesome.
Everybody.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Well, make sure you get ready. Next week is the final.
Woot.
Yes.
So let's see who wins this All-Stars.
Yeah.
Exciting.
We'll do it.
All right, for this episode of Challenge, this has been Brian.
Amanda.
Big Uncle Sweet Tea.
And I didn't plan a quote, so as Brad said...
The Challenge.